Yeah, okay, now it's running again. Yeah, where were we? I guess there's something else that maybe you can help a bit with. I'm curious about, partly because of your family background, I'm curious about what's happened in religion, the extent to which there's a... And when I was last here, I had the impression there was a really sharp division between Christians and non-Christians. And that I think, maybe I'm wrong, that sharp division has weakened. Is that your impression?
I don't know if it has weakened. It's not as overt as it used to be.
Christians attend Green Corn sometimes.
No. Very few.
Really?
I think the old timers, they were the... I'm just talking about the one that I'm used to. They were the ones that made that clear. No Christian people.
Yeah.
But the ones coming up after them, you know, the theory is that the Cornette is open for all Seminole Christians or whatever. And even if you're an ex-criminal in jail, out of jail, it was meant for an Indian person. So there shouldn't be that kind of a division. And I think since then, it's kind of has worked along those lines. But again, individuals being individuals, there may be still that kind of a thinking, but it's not as a top priority important thing as it may have been with the older guys.
I think it's true for all of the Green Corn dances.
I
think it's true of all the different ones, all the different corn dances. Three or four, I guess, but...
I'm not sure.
What about... Are there still hunting dances? Is a hunting dance still...
No.
No.
I'm not sure when was the last one, Miccosukee or Seminole. And in Seminole, you know, I just barely remember some of these things. And they're probably back in the 50s somewhere. And I don't know if Miccosukee have had any one more recent than that. But I think you hear some talks now and then to try to revive it. But again, there's always protocol and we sort of a thing, who should lead and who should be in charge sort of a thing. Not only that, but to find if there's anyone around, still around, that knows the song or whatever. And I haven't heard anything moving in that direction, but now and then there will be talks of reviving it somewhere.
How many Christian churches are there, Seminole churches?
In Seminole, back in my time, two distinct churches.
Yeah.
And then since that time, Brighton is still two, but I think one of the outside religion comes in now and then. And in Big Cypress, there's still two, I think. But here, there's two and a couple of side ones, so it's hard to tell how many churches we have on the reservation total.
Do outsiders, do white people attend the churches?
I think they attend the churches sometimes, and I think the ministers may be outsiders.
Do some Seminoles attend non-Seminole churches?
If they do, there are very few that we don't know about.
Let me see what else is on my list. What can you tell me anything that I can use about relations with the federal and state governments, or with the BIA? How have they changed over the last 20, 30 years? What are the problems? Is that too general a question?
I think the underlying problem is still there, but with the lapse of time and condition, they may have lessened their thinking, but it's still there. But it's only because the tribes themselves are the ones that made it happen. But I think the bottom line is the feds, the state, and the county, they don't like the Indian tribes with their treaties and their reservation and being treated a little separately than a state or a county. But this is what the government made, the deal the government made, and all the tribe expects them to live under it. And I think even now, back then, the state here anyhow, I don't think they like the idea of having a reservation within their borders where they have no control over. And I don't think it's because we are a bad influence. I think it's just their nature. And wherever we're located, you know, with our gaming and with all of our activity, even here in this office, we are one of the bigger employer in the county that we're located. We buy a lot of goods and services, have a big payroll. So we do, we make a bigger contribution than other small businesses would. So we always think, it's that old theory, you know, the white folks will think for you. You do what we tell you. They don't like the idea that Indian folks can think for themselves and do start doing things without them. And their best solution is to knock those, like I said before, knock those props out from under them.
You think it's increases with the increased with the obvious increase in
I think in recent years it have increased because of all these gaming all over the country.
But now on the other hand, the state must sometimes recognize that the Seminoles are a plus for the state, that a tourist attraction, what have you. So that, and it gets mentioned in advertising and stuff like that. So that
it's in their advantage, they will, but if not, it's not.
Well, I was thinking back when, do you remember a guy named Mad Bear Anderson from Tuscarora?
Yeah, I've heard of that name.
Who came down and persuaded, who was it, people on the trail, I think, to go visit Castro about 1950, eight or nine, Castro had just taken over. And I thought, without any real evidence, that that kind of caught the attention of the state. And there's something about the timing that made, looked as though maybe the state began to pay closer attention to the Seminoles and do more for them because of that trip to Cuba. And that maybe that was a good political ploy that worked. But I haven't seen any direct evidence. It was only sort of guessing on my part.
You know, that's not to say that everything is bad between tribe and state relationship. There are, with this last governor, the late Governor Chow, we've known him when he was in the Washington Senate day, and we've always been on friendly terms with him. And whenever we needed assistance in some area, he would always give us a hand. Then, and even as a governor, he would request any statewide commission put set up to study something or other, environment. He would ask the tribe to recommend someone from the tribe to sit on it. So on a lot of things and most things, you know, we worked well together, but it was in that gaming area. We didn't see eye to eye, but again, we didn't take that personally. He has his views and we had our views, and they were, the law was such that it at least gave us an opportunity to pursue it and see who wins. If we lose, no big deal. We've been here forever anyhow. We'll still be here.
I'm sure.
But if we didn't pursue it, or we don't pursue it now, then we haven't done our, put out our best effort here for the tribal members.
Yeah. I'm looking at my list. What kind of relations are there with the non-Indian schools and school systems around the reservations? Are there problems? Are there
not as much as, you know, you might hear or read about elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in 5 different reservations. We have to deal with 5 different school boards.
Mm-hmm.
And any one location, there isn't that much of us to begin with, except in Brighton. Mm-hmm. All of them goes to Okeechobee.
Uh-huh.
Here in Hollywood, I don't know how many schools that the Seminole kids attend. So you may have a problem here and there, you know, like that scratching.
Yeah.
Some kid may show up scratched up and then they'll call the HRS. But again, a lot of these things is just a matter of meeting with people and explaining the situation. Like it's for disciplinary purpose, not an abuse or whatever.
Yeah.
Now and then, those kind of a thing, but I don't think nothing beyond what the kids of any group would get into that can't be handled by the school and the parent.
Yeah, there's something else that occurred to me that, I understand the tribe pays for college educations, is that the case?
I think at the beginning, when we were able to do other things with our gaming revenue, education was one area where I think at the beginning was to upgrade their educational programs to where they would keep track of all newborn, and I think back then, and I suspect it still is, that we keep track of the, what you call it, from cradle to grave sort of a thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think in specific down to the education of it, you know, we have these head starts and pre-head start or whatever, kindergarten.
Yeah.
And then when they go off to junior high, they keep track of their grades, and they have an award ceremony at the end of each year based on the grades performance, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bottom line is that any student graduating from a high school that has the grades and is willing to go to college, the tribe is not going to let that child use lack of money as an excuse. They will assist him or her through housing, vehicle, those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they also realize that not everyone can go to college or don't want to go to college.
Yeah.
So if people wants to get into some vocational training, the tribe will assist them in that area as well.
So if somebody,
and there's no requirement that they come back to work with the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
The thinking is, if they don't come back to the tribe, it's well and good. At least that'll be one we won't have to take care of, according to Dame. But there are no strings attached to it. It's just to get them education.
So if they want to go to college and are admitted, the tribe pays all expenses?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
If there's, you know, if there's other government grant that they qualify for, they should try for that first. But wherever there's any shortcomings or no grants available, then the tribe will pick it up.
I should think that might make a difference to universities who underwrite some students, but if they know that the tribe is going to underwrite it, they probably would say no then to underwriting. So the tribe, there was something I was curious about. What are the criteria for affiliation? Is it blood quantum?
Blood quantum, at least 1/4.
At least 1/4. Uh-huh. And if less than 1/4, then is it possible to apply? And
you can't even apply if you're less than 1/4. Or if you apply when you're less than 1/4. you will be told you don't qualify at the beginning.
Because some tribes, you know, have a different, have a rule that if you're less than whatever the quantum there is, then special circumstances may apply, and you can, I think sometimes they say, well, if the other parent is on another tribal role, then you get some special consideration. That's not true.
Not here.
Not true here. How about switching from Seminole to Miccosukee or Miccosukee to Seminole? Is that possible?
I think in the Seminole, you can only leave it once. I mean, you can only leave once after your majority, 18. But if your parents take you out while you are a minor, then you can try to get back in after you become, you reach your majority age. But as far as going back and forth to Miccosukee, there isn't any such standards. Either you take your chances with both, either tribe. If you want to join Miccosukee and leaving here, there's, we don't guarantee or we don't support the withdrawal if it fits, and if that's what the sponsoring person was when that person was enrolled, then they will go ahead and disenroll them, whatever you want to call them. Then they're on their own, the Miccosukee. And if the Miccosukee don't take them and they were over 18, then they'll be in a limbo. And I think we may have a few people in that situation. And I don't know what Red Miccosukee's requirement would be on leaving, but I know on the tribe side, I think there were a lot of withdrawal membership to go to Miccosukee. And again, the tribal council didn't want to disenroll anyone. But again, they didn't want to hold back anyone from joining Miccosukee.
When was that?
And it's been within the last few years. But recently, you know, we can't, we don't want to have them in Seminole against their will, sort of a thing. So if all the paperwork are proper.
Why would anybody want to leave?
That's something we never figured out yet. Like James Billis said one time, even if they kick me out, I'm still a Seminole. What the hell is the distinction there?
Yes.
You don't need a membership card to tell you you're a Seminole.
No, but you may need a membership card to get dividends.
I think, yeah, you need to be a member to get dividends, but Miccosukee has dividends too.
Is that a reason for shifting, to think that Miccosukee may pay more?
I think they do. But whether or not that's the main reason, we don't know.
Yeah.
And if it is, I don't know if that is a good reason.
Yeah, yeah. But they do pay more dividends at the moment.
I think they do. But they only have, what, 300 to 400 people?
Is that it? Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to... Miccosukee's about 300 to 400, huh? And the Seminoles?
Past 2,300 now.
Over 2,300. How many of those are Creek speaking?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or should we say Brighton, Creek ancestry?
I know that we have 23. It almost broke down as far as individuals go, tribe members go. They almost broke down equally between Hollywood, Big Cypress, and Brighton. And if we're talking 23. I suspect maybe, let's see, maybe over 700 between 800, 700 on a major reservation. And the rest would be made up by Mockery, Tampa, and the others, and the non-residential kind of a thing. So if you say majority of the Creekers are in Brighton, there, you know. And here, I don't know where you would categorize Hollywood. It may be the same 50-50 with Miccosukee speakers and Creek speakers. Or maybe there's more non-speakers here than the other two. But I think it's hard to say which one would have the majority.
Yeah. But I used to think that it was about one-third Creek and two-thirds Miccosukee speaking before, you know, in 1950, before. Mm-hmm.
I think that was probably a good estimate, but now we may even have another category, only English speakers.
Yeah. And they're not, if they're only English speakers, don't people still say she's Creek?
Yeah.
So. I already know I'm going to have terrible time in this piece, this chapter,
mm-hmm.
explaining briefly the labels. I mean, I always have trouble, you must too, but what what's the difference between Miccosukee as the language and Miccosukee as the political, the tribal group,
mm-hmm.
and between Creek and Miccosukee, and between Seminole and Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Some linguists are now referring to Florida Creek as Seminole.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying they ought to say Seminole Creek or Creek Seminole, but
mm-hmm.
it's...
I don't know. Some of these things, problems or whatever, is usually created by these official, what kind of people are there, linguists or
yep.
whatever they are.
Yep.
And I think because of the Oklahoma situation, they may tend to lump everybody in the same pot and try to identify
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Because in Miccosukee, I mean in Oklahoma, there is a Seminole and also the Muscogee Creek.
Yes.
And both speak the same language.
Yeah.
And the Creek speakers here can communicate with them.
Yeah.
So here in Florida, I don't know, you know, this is something that I wouldn't know, the linguists or people would have to say, but, you know, the Creek, you know, as, I guess as it is normally termed around here, is the faction of the Seminole that speaks that language.
Yeah.
And they're still Seminole.
What's the word in Creek for that? For that faction?
I think they're, let's see. I know the term used by the Miccosukees, there is a term that is mainly used by the Miccosukees to refer to the Creeks.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what that is right offhand because I don't run into that word that much.
Chishaponasi.
Yeah, something in that line, yeah.
But there isn't a Creek equivalent?
No. Huh. It's just that, again, the Creeks were called the Miccosukee Chilokalgi.
Huh.
That's a... They're speaking, again, not it's because it's not Creek, they will call them Chilokalgi, refer to them because of their language.
Chilokalgi.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So that... And how do they refer to themselves in Creek?
I think they would probably refer to themselves as Creek.
In Creek? In the Creek language? In their own language?
Let's see. I think if they're going to refer to themselves as anything, I don't know if they would do it as a Creek, maybe other than the Seminole.
Uh-huh. And Seminole is used in the Creek language nowadays?
Not anymore, and the situation that caused for that word to be used, it doesn't exist anymore, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
But it depends on what people's version is, on what the word Seminole means.
And yeah.
I know James Billy goes all over the countryside, comes from Spanish, Cimarron, and all that stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but in my simple way of looking at things, is that I think if they turn that word into a four-syllable word, Seminole,
mm-hmm.
you know, in some of the early books they say it means runaway.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean runaway. Literal meaning of Seminole is something wild, the epitome of wildness or something.
Mm-hmm.
And back even in my time, people would say, you know, there were some wild pigs here, you know, that may have never seen a human being or whatever,
mm-hmm.
cattle or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why Seminoles back then were referred to as whoever the guys were or whatever,
yeah.
as Seminole. Then they just turned it into Seminole.
So
and that's probably how they got to that name.
Seminole in Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Means wild.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean Seminoles.
The literal translation is means wow.
Yeah, but does it mean, can it be used to refer to the people?
I think that's where it came from, so it got to the, it's got to the point where it's used for the people.
In the Creek language?
No.
No.
The Creek themselves don't refer to them as wild.
Yeah.
Since they were labeled Seminole from the beginning, they just regarded themselves as Seminole.
I think that was true, used to be true of Miccosukee speakers too, that they didn't call themselves Shimanoli.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whether they do now, do you?
No. I don't know.
Uh-huh. There's another problem. What's the source of the word Miccosukee?
That I wouldn't know, and I'm not even sure. I understand the two factions here.
Yeah, yeah.
I always make it easy, and you know, when the time came to organize, they just, the ones further south, who happened to be Miccosukee, wanted to be organized as Miccosukee, and the rest was Seminole.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's other basis for the distinction, but I don't think I've ever read or ever heard, or it wasn't the thing that I looked into too much.
Yeah.
But in actuality, we are cousins, you know, tradition-wise, culture-wise.
Mm-hmm.
We participate in their stuff, and they will in our stuff,
mm-hmm.
but with a slight variation, but, you know, the same clan system.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, and the language, but sometimes language is not even a barrier anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to all these things like Faraka and Kurza that dumb things on the hell, they'll give you another high polluting answer that. It'll take another grant here to figure him out.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been looking at what they've done, but
mm-hmm.
I want to do it more or less independently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, you said you want to quit at 4. It's a little after 4.
And one more question you got?
I'm sure I'll think of some if I could come back sometime. Are you going to be around?
Yeah. When do you think you'll be back?
I don't know. I'm going to be. Chairman Billy said I could stay at the
safari.
Safari,
mm-hmm.
Not this coming week, but the following week.
Mm-hmm.
So this coming week I'm going to be in Pompano Beach,
mm-hmm.
and then the following week I'll be in the Billy Safari. And
as far as I know, I'm always here, except some quick thing that comes up that might take me out on a day or what. But I'll be here, except the first week of February I'll be in Washington.
Uh-huh.
On that USET meeting, United South and Eastern Tribes meeting.
Yeah, good.
But other than that, I'll be here.
Uh-huh. Your time going to be busy in Washington the first week in February?
Yeah, we'll be attending that USET conference.
Wouldn't have time to come and have dinner with me?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. How do I? I'll give you my phone numbers. Give them to somebody out there?
Yeah, give them to that gal out there.
Okay. Because I'm certainly going to be there.
All right.
Okay, then, or you might drop around the Smithsonian if you have time.
Where are you in Smithsonian? What office? Which division?
In the Natural History Museum.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Anthropology in the Natural History Museum.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know. I was checking with museum for the Smithsonian one time. You know, they always collect all these things and whatever, and I was checking if they had any songs. Some of these medicinal songs by the old timer.
Yeah.
And I think they gave me a couple on Susie Billy and Charlie Cypress.
Huh.
But I guess either in the production or the, I guess back then the recording system wasn't as good as it is today.
Yeah.
So some of those things you can't hardly hear, but a lot of the medicinal songs are in Creek language, regardless of where it is, Miccosukee speakers or in Seminole.
Yeah.
And I wanted to listen to some of them, but the quality was too bad that it didn't do me any good.
I think I've got some.
Mm-hmm.
Josie Billy was reluctant to record
mm-hmm.
medicinal songs. I've got a few short ones. What he usually did was to sing only part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've got a few dance songs. But all my tapes are sitting there without having been copied, and I've got to get myself around to carrying them all over to someplace and get good copies made so that I'll have cassettes that could be handed out. But I plan to do that sometime soon.
I know today all of the old-time medicine guys are gone, especially the Creek side of things. And the younger guys that are dealing these things are probably the Creek speakers. And if they're, I mean, a Mississippi speaker. And if they're not a Creek speaker, but they learned it from a Creek speaker, then the pronunciation of the word may not be as accurate as if it had been in Mississippi. So sometimes when I deal with these guys, they'll ask me, what does that mean? They will blotch it up so much that I ask them, what is it, what is it supposed to mean? And then when they tell me, then I know what what they're talking about then. But that's the kind of a problem that we have these days.
There are some old, there was a woman named Frances Densmore who was here, I think it was 1932, with a really antique wax cylinder recording machine.
1932?
I think 1932, yeah. And I think those tapes or those recordings have been put on tape, and they're somewhere in Washington. I have never heard them, but the Smithsonian published the music from them, you know, transcription of the music. And what they published, what she said about them, what, you know, what they meant and what who she collected them from and that kind of thing, I thought was mixed up. But, and I thought, I suspected that she was asking leading questions too often. She was good at recording, at writing out music. She wasn't very good at interviewing people, and that was, and she wasn't here very often, very long. She worked all over the country. Some places she did really good work, but those were places that she spent some time. So,
I'm thinking that Charlie Cypress version I heard out of Smithsonian, you know, my thinking even there was that when he did it, when he was asked to do it, he probably did it the full song. But I think when they put it on that tape or record or whatever it was, the interviewer probably just took a portion of one song and portion of the next song and whatever. And to an Indian person, they would look at there's something inconsistent. But I don't think it was done to preserve. It was done for something else. So that's why you don't hear the full song. You only hear parts, and then it goes into the next part.
Could that have been 1932?
It could have been, because I'm not sure if I ever heard of Charlie Cypress until his name came up in this kind of contact.
Because, I don't know, it might have been, I don't know that it would have been the Smithsonian. He spent some time at what was his name, Wilfred Neal's Silver Springs place. He used to spend a few months there in the 40s and 50s. But I can't remember whether I ever recorded him. I used to talk to him. I recorded some stories, some tales, more than one. Interesting. But okay, time to quit, I guess.
All right. Just leave your name, the card out there, and I'll take it.
Good.
Hello.
Okay.